Hello, friends. I hope you recognize that theme song. If you do, you know it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad to be with you once again today. Want to invite you, before we get into our broadcast any further today, to come to our website if you would like to receive recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. If you've missed one, you want to pick it up and be on the same page with us. If you would like to download any of the materials on our website that would help you, be a blessing to you, you can get information, you can get inspiration. Hallelujah. And it won't cost you any perspiration, because there is absolutely no strings attached. It's very easy to navigate. Everything that is on that website is for your good and God's glory. So we invite you to just come and peruse our website. It's just type in THCOG. THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida, and where this broadcast originates, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International, in good standing since 1974. Praise God. Well, we're so glad once again to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. And there are other fine ministers and ministries here on WMAF, and local ministers that have their churches right there in Madison and North Florida. And we just encourage you to get up on Sunday morning, get out, get in a good Bible teaching, Bible believing church, and receive instruction from the Word of God of how to live with courage and hope in these very, very dark and dangerous days called the last days. And I just believe God will bless you, and I know those pastors would welcome you with open arms. If they're anything like me, and I believe they are, they have a heart to see people help. And God has sent them for that purpose. So support your local churches and ministers and ministries that are there for you in God's behalf, in God's stead. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles today, we're talking about finding true happiness in an unhappy world, and finding true happiness in a world filled with counterfeits. 1 Peter 3:10-12. Once again, we're going to read as our foundational scripture and go forward today on this important subject. I believe if Christians become so filled with hope and so satisfied in Jesus that the whole world around us sees a difference in us, a scripture is going to be fulfilled. You better be ready to share your testimony. Amen. Because the Bible said we are to be instant in season, out of season, always ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is within us. Someone said, if you can be happy in the circumstances that we are in now, globally and nationally and personally, you have discovered something that the whole world is searching for and looking for. Well, we have discovered that in the kingdom of God, it is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, it is peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And when you're right with God, and you have peace with God, and then the peace of God is reigning and ruling in your heart, then there can be joy in that restored, reconciled relationship, joy in the Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Lord, dear ones, is the strength that we need to stand up against all of the enemy's accusations and all of his intentions to do harm to us. The joy of the Lord strengthens us to be upstream Christians in a downstream world, and find joy and happiness in the midst of all of the struggles of life. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about that today, so don't change the dial. Whether you're a Christian or not, God wants to give you and I the key to understanding what it means to be truly happy in an unhappy world. Listen to it carefully. 1 Peter 3:10-12. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I like the paraphrase. It says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. And I love the Amplified, for it says, let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil, his lips from guile, treachery, and deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it. Let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, but pursue, go after them, and it all begins with having peace with God. Having God on our side. Having God is our help. Psalm 146 and verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I want to read that again. Happy is he that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Friend of mine, if happiness is based on happenings, none of us are going to be happy for very long, if happy at all. Happenings change from time to time, and we don't know what may happen tomorrow. Happiness, true happiness, is only found in the fact that no matter what happens, if your hope is in the Lord, you have the promise of God's help. Praise God. That is the only possible way to find a true and lasting happiness in the midst of a faulty world, a faulty body, and a fallen world. What an elusive thing happiness is. More than 60 scientists have been given millions of dollars in funding to help humanity find happiness. Although the U.S. standard of living has increased since World War II, there is no increase in the number of people who regard themselves as happy. A U.S. News and World Report on the subject says, and I quote, once income provides basic needs, it doesn't correlate to happiness, nor does intelligence, prestige, or sunny weather. People grow used to new clients, higher salaries, and better cars. Many years and millions of dollars studying and treating depression have succeeded in reducing most people's levels of sadness, but they still are not necessarily happier. And I want to submit today that the enemy of our soul capitalizes on the emptiness and dissatisfaction of seeking happiness in a fallen world by offering counterfeits that only lead to disappointment, sin, and ruin. Jesus came to give us life eternal in the heavens above and a happy and fulfilled life here below. John 10 and verse 10, St. John's Gospel says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. One translation says the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Praise God. I believe the great witness to the world around us is when this life of God that we have as Christians within us begins to well up and flow out of us. We used to sing that wonderful praise song that describes what is supposed to be occurring in every Christian's life. There is a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captive free. there is a river of life flowing out from me. Praise God. Satan offers a counterfeit. Christ offers the authentic. He is the way, the truth, and He is the life. So the question is asked, where is happiness then? Well, it's not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type, and he wrote, and I'm quoting, "I wish I had never been born." It's not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." It isn't in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." Happiness is not based on money, and the greatest proof of that is our family, says Christina Onassis. In the news, not long ago, a doctor, head of the cancer department of a hospital in Illinois, he was 43 years old, on vacation in Miami, celebrating 10 years of marriage. He threw his 8-year-old son and his 4-year-old son from a 15th-story balcony, then jumped to his own death. Other doctors described him as quiet, intelligent, and friendly. You see, friend, you can have all of these wonderful things, and that in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with them. But sometimes just beneath the thin veneer of success and achievement, there is deep depression. And we don't seem to understand. Even as Christians, sometimes we ask ourselves, he had a career, he had money, he had a family. What is wrong with him? What is wrong with him is what was wrong with us until we accepted Christ as our Savior. Billy Graham quoted someone else, but I remember his particular quote when he said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl, and only God can fill that great vacuum. Only God, in His rightful place and in our relationship with Him and to Him, can bring us to the place of hope and peace and joy that true happiness can occur." Where then is true happiness? It's not in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." It's not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept because he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is happiness found? The answer is simple: in Christ alone. He said, "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you." He promised to never leave us, never forsake us, but to go with us all the way, even unto the end of the age. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." Happenings are going to cause that to occur. Negative, bad happenings. I'm telling you, bad things happen to good people because we are in faulty bodies. We're in a fallen world. But I want to declare to you today that we have a faithful Father. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." The Greek word is thelpsis, and it means anguish and pressure. But He said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Life may not always give us perfection. It surely will not. We may not always see success. The message of Jesus in the gospel is that life is not measured by earthly standards in the kingdom of God. Life is measured by our response to the gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Find that gift in your life. Appreciate and appropriate it, and you will know happiness. True happiness cannot be based on happenings, but God's promise to be with us and to help us no matter what happens. A God so committed to our good that even when bad things begin to touch our lives, He is able to bring good if we keep our trust in Him. I like the story, a humorous story. A little bird was flying south for the winter. It was so cold it froze up and fell into the ground in a large field. While it was lying there, a cow came by and dropped a big cow patty on him. As he lay in the pile of manure, it began to realize how warm it was. The manure was actually thawing him out. He lay there all warm and happy and soon began to sing for joy. A passing cat heard the little bird singing and came to investigate. Following the sound, the cat discovered the bird under the pile of manure and promptly dug him out and then ate him. It's kind of a sad, funny story, isn't it? The moral of the story is this: not everyone who drops manure on you is your enemy, and not everyone who digs you out of a pile of that manure is your friend. And number three, when you're in the manure, keep your mouth shut. Oh, friend, how hard it is not to complain when you're going through a trial that God will certainly use to bring good to our life if we will keep our trust in Him. I have a tendency to complain. And I need to get this third principle: keep your mouth shut. There's a lot of people try to help us out of our troubles. God wants to bring us through our troubles. He will help you when He's ready to help you. But He's going to teach you something while you're going through that you could never learn any other way. And the Scripture did say in Romans 8 and verse 28, "For we do know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." Hallelujah. Friend of mine, happiness cannot be based on circumstances at any given moment. To the persecuted church, James writes in James 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this carefully. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Praise God. One translation said, let it be an opportunity for joy. Let it be an, count it joy. It doesn't seem joyous when it's occurring, but count it joy. One pastor in Florida hosted a count it all joy party every now and then. He also believed that passage, or he so believed that passage in James 1 in verse 2, that when he would face a difficult situation, he would call friends over to his house. He'd say, I want you to come over to my house for a party. They'd say, okay. Okay, is it a birthday? No, he would say. You got a promotion? No, they'd continue. And then they'd say, what is the situation? What is the occasion? They would finally ask. Well, he'd say, I'm going through this incredibly difficult crisis right now, and I'm having a count-it-all joy party. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever seen or heard of anyone putting that into practice in quiet that way, in such a practical way. We're going to celebrate the difficulty because I know that in this difficulty is going to bring something special of great value to my life. I don't know what it is yet, but I want you to come and count it all joy with me. Hallelujah. Have any of you ever been thrown or ever thrown a count-it-all-joy party? Oh, friend, I haven't either. I believe I need to. And if I start doing that, I believe I'm going to have a lot of parties if I live much longer. To tell you the truth, it's tough to consider it pure joy while it still hurts. But I'm so glad that I know the God of Jacob. I'm so glad for His promise of sufficient grace. I'm so glad I can run to Him. We will never find true happiness looking constantly at ourselves and dwelling on our own problems, hurts, and disappointments. It will never occur. A young man was at the end of his rope, according to the story. Seeing no way out, he dropped to his knees in prayer. And he said, "Lord, I can't go on." He said, "I have too heavy a cross to bear. The Lord replied, "My son, if you can't bear its weight, just place your cross inside this room. Then open that other door and pick out any cross you wish." The young man was filled with relief. He said, "Thank you, Lord." And he did what he was told. Upon entering the other door, he saw many other crosses, some so large the tops were not even visible. Then he spotted a tiny cross leaning against the far wall. "I like that one, Lord," he whispered. And the Lord replied, "My son, that's the cross you just brought in." Ah, friend, sometimes my cross to bear seems so very, very heavy. Ah, but there are so many people suffering all over this world under persecution and pressure. So many that would gladly trade crosses with me. Ah, friend, I just want to cultivate a thankful heart, a grateful attitude, to be able to count it joy even when the trials and tests and trouble comes, because God has promised to make it all work together for good and for His glory, in spite of every effort of the enemy of our soul. God has promised to be with us through it all. I love that song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I'm still learning after all of these years serving God and preaching the gospel and reading the Bible and counseling others. There's some things you can't learn anywhere in any way except by going through these trials and tests of life and having God prove Himself over and over and over again. I want to make a statement here in closing that's very important. Fulfillment begins not with a hunger for happiness, but a hunger for holiness. I want to say that again. Fulfillment, particularly for a Christian, begins not with a hunger for happiness, but a hunger for holiness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." One translation said, "They shall be completely satisfied." Hallelujah. The Greek word for blessed here in the New Testament is a word that describes that joy which has its secret within itself. That joy which is serene and untouchable and self-contained. That joy which is completely independent of all of the changes and chances of life, according to William Barclay. Hallelujah, commenting on this scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. Praise God. Are you plugged into Christ as your Savior today and as your source? Are you still chasing happiness in a fallen world instead of finding it in a renewed relationship with God and a hunger for righteousness? I like the story in closing of an old dog who meets a young dog. The dog sees the young dog running around chasing its tail and asks, "What are you doing?" The young dog says, "Well, I've been contemplating the nature of happiness, and I've determined that I've found a philosophy for true happiness. True happiness is found in my tail. For the rest of my life, therefore, I'm going to try and chase it in order that when I catch it, I will have found true happiness." Ah, friend, and that the old dog looks at him and says, "Well, I too, young puppy, have tried to find happiness. I too have gone on a quest to find real joy. Like you, I've come to the conclusion after much examination that there is indeed true happiness in my tail. I have found, however, that when I run around chasing it, my tail is always running away from me. But when I simply go ahead with my life, it follows me wherever I go. There's a simple formula coming forth here and emerging from the Word of God. Number one, and if you don't know Christ today, listen carefully. Get right with God. Be reconciled to God. Get the peace with God established by receiving Christ as your Savior, repenting and confessing your sins before the Lord. Get right with God. And number two, cultivate a personal relationship with Him. And number three, trust Him exclusively with your life and your future. And number four, face each day with faith and hope. Hallelujah. Go ahead with your life, and happiness will follow as you follow Jesus Christ today. I want to ask you a personal question in closing today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can receive Him before this broadcast is over. In these next few moments in time, you can have your eternal destiny changed. Not only can you have heaven for your home when you leave this world, but you can have God's promise to go with you through this world until that time comes. You can lay your head down tonight with the peace with God and the peace of God ruling and reigning. It's called a peace that passes all understanding. And therefore, you can have happiness no matter what happens in the full assurance and knowledge that God now is in control of your life, your everyday moment-to-moment life here, and your future destiny. Praise God. There is no place in the world that you can find that peace except in Jesus Christ and God's great kingdom. Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian today and you haven't found fulfillment in Jesus, remember, you need to cultivate a personal relationship with Him. And you need to trust Him exclusively with your life. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Commit thy way unto Him, and He'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And face each day, no matter what happens, with faith and hope. God will give you a fulfilled life, and He'll turn your test into a testimony. Praise God. Well, our time is almost gone here today. But friend of mine, I want you to know just how much that God loves you in the close of this broadcast today. He gives His Son on the cross. He doesn't just say the words. He gives His only begotten Son. He loves you that much today. And Jesus gave His life on an old rugged cross, and He bids you to come unto Him. You that labor and are heavy laden, He says, come unto Me. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. And you will find what everyone is searching for: rest for your soul. Hallelujah. I pray that you will receive Christ if you don't know Him today. And if you know Him, that you will seek a closer walk with Him so that He can give you this peace, grant you this joy, and the world may know that there is true happiness no matter what happens in God's great kingdom of grace and love. Hallelujah. Well, until next week, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable saying, come back, will you? Let's talk about Jesus.